Now live from Studio 550, it's McGraw in the Morning on the Big 550 KTRS.
With Paul Harris filling in for McGraw, by my math, we are less than 4 weeks away from the return of Walter White and the rest of the people see show Breaking Bad, which is about to launch the final 8 episodes of its final season. As a person who fell in love with this show after binge viewing the first 4 seasons on DVD, I can't wait to see where we go next with the meth man from Albuquerque. He is one of the difficult men who is profiled in a new book by my next guest, Brett Martin. It's called Difficult Men, Behind the Scenes of a Creative Revolution, from The Sopranos and The Wire to Mad Men and Breaking Bad. Brett, welcome to the Big 550 KTRS.
Thank you. Good morning.
So when you talk about the difficult men here, are you talking about Walter White and Tony Soprano and Don Draper, or are you talking about David Chase and the other creators behind the scenes of these shows?
Well, I'm talking about both of them, actually, both the kind of anti-heroes that have come to define what I'm calling the third golden age of TV, but also the people behind the scenes who and mostly men also, who created them and who I was able to talk to nearly all of them.
This revolution that you refer to, didn't it really start when Stephen Bochco invented Hill Street Blues, and then later with anti-heroes like Andy Sipowicz on NYPD Blue and Frank Pemberton on Homicide?
Sure. That's sort of what I refer to as the second golden age, this time when networks still had a stake in creating high-quality, prestige, Emmy-winning drama. And Bochco was a huge figure in that. And even bigger was a man named Grant Tinker, who ran a studio called MTM, which was really essentially a kind of proto-HBO.
So what was the revolution the third time around?
Well, it was the shift over to cable and the realization on the part of certain channels and networks that the old-fashioned model of having to try to get a third of America watching you at any given time was long dead, wasn't coming back, and that, in fact, in order to define yourself in this new world, you needed original programming. And once you had that, you had these incredible writers and artists, David Simon, David Chase, Matt Weiner, Vince Gilligan, who were there to sort of leap on this opportunity with just great ambition and turn out these incredible shows.
So those guys who you just mentioned, the showrunners, who were they difficult to? The networks or their staffs or just about protecting their singular vision?
Well, it's a little mix of all of them. First of all, every showrunner is a little bit different. Some are extremely kind and democratic. They're all kind, I'm sure, to their families. It's an incredibly difficult job. A showrunner is kind of a writer and a CEO and a boss and you know, controls this enormous, ever-expanding universe. Some people handle that with grace and equanimity, and other people blow their top a little bit more. There's sort of every shade of, you know, each of these shows has a totally different showrunner, and they're all wonderful shows. But certainly some of them are not men that I would necessarily like to work for.
Walter White on Breaking Bad, not a nice guy. Tony Soprano, killer, not a nice guy. Don Draper, not really a likable guy. Is that the key to success in TV now, unlikable heroes?
Well, it has been the dominant type of hero we've seen in the last 10 years. I mean, and each of those people that you just listed is also in some ways is likable, right? I mean, that's sort of part of that's the dynamic that happens is that we are repelled by Tony and yet we kind of root for Tony. Even now, you know, I had a chance with Breaking Bad coming back. I was writing about Bryan Cranston for GQ and I had a chance to go back and watch that pilot. And even knowing everything we know about what Walter White is going to become, you still see him as this nebbishy chemistry teacher and you still say, geez, I hope he gets up and finds his inner Heisenberg, you know?
Yeah, we end up caring about these people, which says a lot about the actors. And again, going back to these creative producers behind the scenes. So in reading your book and getting ready to talk to you this morning, I was thinking, okay, where are the women who fit this category?
Right.
And I think the only one I could think of who may be considered an anti-hero might be Carrie Mathison on Homeland.
Well, certainly Carrie Mathison. Before that, Glenn Close's character on a great show called Damages on FX, certainly qualified. There are women around. I mean, there are you know, in the shows that I write about, certainly while Tony Soprano dominates The Sopranos, Carmela is a tremendously complicated, conflicted character. Mm-hmm. Certainly the women of Mad Men are great characters. The women of Deadwood are great characters. There's not to say that it's been equal, and certainly there are some difficult women out there whose stories are ready to be told.
Why do these shows have to be on HBO and FX and AMC? Is it the economics of this kind of television?
Yeah, well, the thing about cable is that ratings, which has always been the kind of big specter looming over everything that happens on television, simply aren't the most important thing anymore, at least in the early stages when you're trying to define what a network is. You know, networks still the networks, by which I mean the broadcast networks, still need to chase the widest possible audience. That is not really true of AMC, or certainly wasn't when they started out. The most important thing to AMC when they were looking for Mad Men was that you knew what AMC was. Which you probably didn't until Mad Men. And if you didn't know what it was going to disappear off the dial. So ratings become a little secondary. And once ratings are secondary, once you don't need that many people watching your show, you know, the creative landscape is wide open.
Yeah. I remember when AMC stood for American Movie Classics.
Right.
And now,
I don't know what it stands for now, to be honest with you. It's
now it stands for Breaking Bad and
exactly.
Walking Dead and Talking Dead and all the rest of that.
Right.
What about the rise of Netflix in this department with House of Cards earlier this year, and now they've got a new one that's streaming called Orange is the New Black?
Right. Well, I think that the era of thinking about a channel or a network as something that comes in through wires or the air to your television is over. And Netflix is effectively becoming a network of its own, as will, I believe, Hulu and iTunes. And that is, you know, a child born today or even 10 years ago will have no sense whatsoever of what the differences between a television show and something that comes in over the computer.
Right.
All those definitions have been broken down.
Yeah, well, that's like trying to explain to my daughter, who's 19 years old, the difference between a broadcast network and a cable network. They all come through the same TV. It's just a different channel number.
Or that you'd have to tune in at a certain time for a show.
Yeah, that's right.
Ludicrous.
And right there, you got to talk about the impact of DVDs and streaming. And I mentioned I binge-watched the first few seasons of Breaking Bad. That also leads to a different paradigm, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Well, you know, for a long time, people were afraid of doing serialized shows. Even, you know, Hill Street Blues, as good as it was, were mostly self-contained episodes because if you were away one week, you wouldn't be able to keep up. If you couldn't serialize TV because people had no way to go back and watch. So that has completely revolutionized the business, all of these technologies.
Last question for you, Brett. We had a lot of praise for James Gandolfini when he died tragically just a few weeks ago. How much of what we heard about the great work of James Gandolfini as Tony Soprano really should have been reserved for the showrunner David Chase?
You know, it's one of the most weird and magical collaborations between a writer who creates a character and an actor like Gandolfini or Bryan Cranston who brings him to life. They're both authors of that character in some ways, and what Gandolfini brought to Tony is, you know, and the way in which he inhabited him, I don't think you can overestimate how important he was.
Yeah. The book is called Difficult Men, Behind the Scenes of a Creative Revolution from The Sopranos and The Wire to Mad Men and Breaking Bad. Brett Martin, thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you very much.
I'm Paul Harris. This is McGraw in the Morning on the Big 550 KTRS.